So today, my dear brothers and sisters, we celebrate Gaudete Sunday, which is the Sunday of rejoicing. We have reached the middle of Advent. We've reached the middle of a short Advent because we're not going to have a whole fourth week of Advent. Next week, we'll have Sunday morning. And then Sunday afternoon, we go right into Christmas Eve. So the fourth week is short. But I will use this pre-homily as a way to remind you that for next weekend, we're going to be seeing a lot of each other, which is wonderful and beautiful. But I want you to remember that you have two obligations next weekend. Okay, obligation number one is you must come to the fourth Sunday of Advent, which is either Saturday at 5 o'clock or Sunday morning at 8 or 9:45. That's one obligation. Obligation number two is you must also come for Christmas. Okay, so you have the option of coming back. So you can come Sunday morning. Maybe you want to come Saturday night so you don't have to come Sunday morning and Sunday evening. But I'm going to see you no matter what, I hope. So don't try to pull a two-for-one deal, okay? Because I know that's what we'll do. We'll say in our mind, it's okay. I'll go Christmas Eve, and that does it. I'm sorry, it doesn't do it. So let's not start Christmas in a place of sin. Let's make our best effort to fulfill our obligation. So if you got a lot going on Sunday, which a lot of people do, that's why we have Saturday evening. Fantastic. But then we'll also see you either Sunday morning Saturday evening, Sunday morning. And then again, we'll see you Sunday afternoon to celebrate Christmas Eve. We have the 4 o'clock, the 7 o'clock, and yes, my dear brothers and sisters, the midnight Mass is at midnight. That's the Mass I highly recommend. That's just me. That comes from a personal preference. But the midnight Mass is magical, if you want to say. And then you have also the option to come Christmas morning at 10 a.m. I'm just pre-warning you because I know there'll be a lot of confusion and you can call and ask, but yes, you must come to Mass twice next weekend, okay? So as we celebrate this wonderful feast of Gaudete Sunday, I pray that this season of Advent up into this point has been a serious opportunity for you to grow deeper with the Lord. And as you have seen here in the parish, we are pushing the importance of having a relationship with God. And, I think especially and particularly, well, always, the most important thing is always a relationship with God. But I think even more particularly in this season, because there are so many things to do. There's so many places to be, and there's so many stresses in life. I mean, when you have your normal everyday stress of work and home and all of that, then you have then you add a holiday on top of it and all of the things that must get done before we can make merry. We must do everything to be merry, and we make ourselves unmerry in trying to be merry. But that's a whole other different, ball of wax. But also, we're just in a season for some people, not everyone, where, it's also a season of tension because holidays means family get-togethers, and we don't all come from pristine families. Our families are not always easy to be around. And sometimes these holidays make us have to have family around, this is not everybody's case, but there is an inherent stress. I think it would be safe to say a lot of us have that one family member, maybe two in some cases, that makes it a little difficult, makes the holiday, makes Christmas and Thanksgiving a little challenging. And because we have all of these things going on, we can focus on those things and we can lose perspective on what God really wants to speak to us, really wants to do with us. In this season of Advent, I pray for you that it has been a real opportunity to grow. I know that for me, this has been the best Advent in my life. This has been my best Advent in spending more time with the Lord. If you had the opportunity of coming to the parish mission, it was really wonderful. If you haven't, you can listen to the parish mission online. It is up. I highly recommend that you spend some time at home listening to it. We're still in this season of preparation. I pray that you have heeded our voice and you have used this Lent as a time to grow deeper with the Lord through prayer, particularly by using the Holo app. I know that many of you have come and said to me that it really is a wonderful tool. And it really is a fantastic tool. And so I invite you, there is still the opportunity to take advantage of that. I know I've been praying with many things. One of the other things that I've been praying with is actually put out by Ascension Press, and it's called Rejoice. And it's a book written by a priest of Advent Reflections. And I just happened to come upon this one time back in October through an email, and makes me always think, you know, not every email that's trying to sell you something is necessarily bad. Some of the things they try to sell you are actually helpful. Anyway, so this has been one of the other tools that I have been using in the season of Advent, and I wanted to spend some time sharing as this homily, some reflections from this book that has really invited me to go deeper. And today we heard in this first reading, this beautiful reading from the prophet Isaiah, that said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and release to the prisoners, and announce a year of favor from the Lord and a day of vindication by our God." And I hope that when you hear those words, that your heart is moved. But why would our hearts be moved? Because it is a reminder of what we are truly created for. That we were created as children, as sons and daughters of God, but being as sons and daughters of God, we were created for a mission. And the mission that God created us for was not a mission of stress. It was not a mission of all of the things that have to be done. We were not created for that. Yet, in many cases, we agree to let stress, and what I mean by stress is our serious need for control, that I would go even to say is a demonic need for control. Because we are, in essence, control freaks. You know why you stress out? It's not because of everything that is outside of you. It's because we have this deep need to micromanage everything, as if the world depended on us, as if everything would fall apart without us. And my dear brothers and sisters, that is why we stress, that is why we lose sleep, that is why we worry ourselves, because we're so busy trying to control that we have lost perspective. We've lost the truth of what we were called to, which is, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. You have been anointed. You have been called. You have been chosen. But you haven't been chosen to be control freaks. You have been chosen to be children of God and to live that way. Imagine, my dear brothers and sisters, how much happier we would be if we lived what we were chosen to do. But we are sitting here and saying, sometimes we may be sitting here going, oh Lord, there goes Father. Is he done yet? Doesn't he know? Doesn't he know it's 1 week till Christmas? I got stuff to do. I don't have time for this. That, my dear brothers and sisters, right there is the problem. We are called for so much more than the way we live our lives. So the question becomes, okay, Father, so then how do I live to be more than what I'm doing now? Because I hope that you recognize that what you're that trying to control life by yourself, I hope that you have seen or hit your head against the wall enough to realize that it ain't working. And maybe you haven't, and I can't force you to hit your head enough to get you to see that, but I can pray that sooner or later we will come to the realization, or our head will hurt enough that we'll want to stop hitting our head against the wall. So how do we stop hitting our head against the wall? Well, gosh darn it, if the scripture doesn't tell us. And we heard in the second reading, brothers and sisters, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in all circumstances give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Now, those are all really beautiful words, wonderful, very poetic. But rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Father, aren't I supposed to go to work? Father, aren't I supposed to eat? Father, aren't I supposed to... Then he adds to it. He doesn't stop. The problem is Paul don't stop. He just keep going. And he keeps adding. So he says, in all circumstances, so don't only rejoice always, don't only pray without ceasing, but in all circumstances give thanks. And I don't know about you, but I hear these words and many times I throw out my arms and go, oof, I'm very far from that. But my dear brothers and sisters, that is not where the Lord wants to leave us. Because yes, we may be far from it. Yes, we may have things that are going on in our life that are keeping from being joyful, from praying, from giving thanks. We may have things, but my dear brothers and sisters, God doesn't want us to stop there. So, how does it become possible to fulfill what St. Paul says to the Thessalonians? Because St. Paul is writing to to in the city of Thessalonica around the year 50-51 AD, and they were a very small community, and they also were they were under a lot of things of the world. There was a lot going on. They were they weren't very strong in the spirit. They were small, and so Paul wants to encourage them, to remind them to continue to live the life of Christianity, because they're living Christianity in a world that is openly hostile to them. And so Paul is trying to encourage them, even though they're small, to live that Christian life in an openly hostile world. And as I have said before, we are not that far, or actually we may be farther, but we're not that far from the same situation as the early church of Thessalonica, where we live in the midst of a world that is openly hostile to the church and to our faith. And so St. Paul is trying to encourage us also today to live the Christian life in the midst of this world that is hostile. And so then, my dear brothers and sisters, how do we do that? How do we rejoice? Well, there are a couple of things. First, we have to ask ourselves, are we intentional about our faith? What do I mean by intentional? Is, do we make time for God? Is God just a fit-in? Or do we look for intentional moments that we can spend with the Lord? And I encourage you that, I encourage you first and foremost. So a relationship, like I've said before, a relationship with the Lord doesn't just happen. I'll never forget when I was a child, I always struggled very much with school. I have told you this before. I wasn't the brightest bulb in the lantern, if you want to say, going through school. So school was really a cross for me. And because of that, I was always very jealous as a child. I was always very jealous of the people that things came easy to. You know, it always works out this way in school, that in a group of 30, there are some kids that things just come easier to. Or they had better study habits, you know. And I never forget, I was voicing my frustration to my mother one time. And my mother looked at me, and in wisdom, she said, "Joe, the A is not just going to jump onto your report card." And it was like a revelation to me. I can still see my 9-year-old self going, "Phew. You mean it's not just going to happen?" No, you have to be intentional about going after it. Yes, some things come naturally to people, but that's a small minority where things come naturally. Most of us, in order to accomplish things in school, you have to put some work into it. You have to be intentional. You have to intentionally schedule time to study. You have to be intentional about learning what is being taught. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, prayer is not just going to jump on your lap and bite you. You're not just going to start levitating like, what was his name? Like the saints. That's not just going to automatically happen. Sure, it could. It could. Absolutely, it could. God, for God, anything is possible. But it's not, for most of us, it's not going to happen just magically. We have to be intentional about our prayer life. We have to be intentional about our time with the Lord. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, this season of Advent is an opportunity to get intentional. There's still a week left. Use this week and make some intentional time. I'm going to force a little bit on you this week because I want to help you. But intentional, make some intentional time. But also, my dear brothers and sisters, how do we rejoice? How do we give thanks always? So besides being intentional, we must be available. That means we must be willing. We must be willing to make ourselves available to God. And if you really look at your life, a lot of times we see our complete unavailability. Because our schedules are full. Again, we can only we listen to God by making ourselves available, like Mary did. Mary made herself available to the work that God was doing. And then we also, my dear brothers and sisters, all of this about being intentional and about making ourselves available is so that we can tune our ears to hear the voice of God. I don't know if any of you play an instrument. I dabbled with the guitar, with the classical guitar, when I was a younger man. Now, one thing about a guitar, like many instruments, they have to be tuned. So you can't just take a guitar out of a case and start strumming it, and it all sounds great. You have to tune it. Now, some people, like for example Patrick, he can tune by ear. I needed to use one of those machines, so I had to go ding, make sure the machine told me it was tuned. See, Patrick has a natural talent. I don't, but our ears are the same way. Our ears get out of tune, and we have to go ding, ding, ding till we get it tuned. The only way we're going to get it tuned is by being intentional, making ourselves available. But doing all of these things with the most important thing, which is humility. My dear brothers and sisters, this season of Advent is an invitation to really live in humility, to have a complete freedom from pride or arrogance. And the only way we lose, and that's where our sense of control comes in, is because we're so proud and we're so arrogant that we think we have to do everything. And humility, true humility, is to be able to recognize and say, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I need you. It's a radical dependency on God. And so I hope that as John in the gospel, I pray that we are using this season of Advent as a time to have our hearts to have a road built in our hearts. And I invite you that if you haven't, there's still time. There's still time. Use the opportunity. Be intentional. While you're using the Hollow app, I also want you to pray. You've got your pens and your paper with you. You have to come ready, because I always have something for you. Remember, 15 minutes a day. Now you should be up more up to about 30 minutes a day. But I take 15. You should be up to 30, but I'll take 15. And I'll take 10. But anyway. So today I want you, or this week, I want you to go home and I want you to pray with the second reading, which was from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 24.